Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Nazir Membeis. We are right on top of the Amud Omar Mar. Let's go back to the halacha mentioned the other day. It's a Mishnah in the Goyim regarding those three individuals who are required to take a full haircut. We have the Nazir, who must shave all the hair off his head. We have the Metzora and Levim in the Midbar, who needed a full head-to-toe hair removal. And the Mishnah tells us all these haircuts are meant to be executed by way of a razor blade. Amamar, v'kulam shel gilchu sheloi b'sar. So all those people who took their haircuts without a tar, with another utensil, not a razor, oyshe shiru shtei saris, or when they cut the hair, they left behind two strands uncut. Like asu v'leklum, they have not fulfilled their obligation. So shtei saris, we learn it's halacha l'mashim esinai, it's me'akev. It's considered enough of a shear of hair, which makes the haircut incomplete and unfulfilled. But otherwise, even if it's not a full haircut, you would say you are yaitze, if not for the fact that we have this special halacha which tells you that two hair, that's one too many. Amar v'ach, b'reid rav ikka zois emeras, we can deduce from here that typically, rubai kekulei mida oiraisa, minat toira, most of something is considered as though you've done the whole thing. For instance, when it comes to shechting an animal, so roiv of the esophagus, roiv of the simon, rubai kekulei counts as though you did the whole thing and you have done shechita. And we see that halacha here as well. Why? Mimai. How do we know this? Medigali rachmona gabi nazir. Because since the Torah tells us by the nazir's haircut, it has to be full and complete. On the seventh day he cuts his hair. We're speaking about a nazir became tamei and must wait 7 days. So yigal chenu, it tells us that it has to be a full and comprehensive haircut. And roiv is not enough, right? Because it's basically a repetition. The pasuk already says, on the seventh day, v'gilach roishay, why add the word yigal chenu to tell you it needs to be a full and complete hair removal. So what do we see from here? Hacha hu da'a de'ika kulay. It is specifically over here, by the Nazir, that a full haircut is required, apparently, otherwise, regarding, other halachas in the Torah, there is no special pasuk to indicate fullness and completion. Haba'am, ruba, even most of it, kikulay, would be considered as though the whole thing was done. Maske for Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Chanina. So he has a kasha on Rav Acha, who just brought the pasuk of Yigal Chenu, as a proof that a full, complete haircut is required for a nazir. How can you bring a raya from this pasuk? You know what this pasuk is describing? You know what it's relating to? Not your standard nazir. Hi, ben nazir tamiksiv. Seventh day? Well, what seventh day? We're talking about a nazir became tamei. And the Mishnah, which was the trigger point of the whole sugya, was that Mishnah Negoim speaking about a regular Nazir, a Nazir who's tar, who's cutting his hair at the end of a 30-day period. Who's to say that you can compare the two things? Hi, ben Nazir tamiksiv, machako la b'marav. So in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they sort of chuckled on this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us exactly who this is speaking about. It was a reference to a certain person. Actually, interestingly enough, the Tosfos here says, he has a kasha, he says, because the Gemara Sanhedrin Yud Zayin, who said that Mechako Ola B'Marava was a special reference to Rabbi Yisr Chanina. And over here, the Mechako Ola, they laughed on that, is going on something that was just said. And who was the one who just said that? None other than Rabbi Yisr Chanina. So apparently, in this case, M'chako Olav Marava is not a reference to Rabbi Yisr Chanina chuckling. But it was a borrowed term applied to somebody else, apparently. In any case, was a response to Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. You're asking, well, that pasuk is by Nazir Tamei. The answer is like this. Michtig, let's analyze what's going on here. How do we even know that a Nazir became Tamei should cut his hair with a razor blade? Michtig, Nazir Tamei, debatar menolan. How do we even know that to be true? There's no pasuk about that by a Nazir Tamei. The pasuk speaks about cutting with a tar is relating to a Nazir tar. Right? So the Nazir Tamei learns May Nazir Tar Yalef. He learns from the Nazir Tar. That just like over there it's Bessar, over here it's Bessar with a razor as well. And therefore we'll just go both ways. We'll learn back from Tamei to Tar as well. Right? So May Nazir Tar Yalef, Laisi Nazir Tar. By the same token, the Nazir Tar will come along, but Leilif min Nazir Tamei and learn as well from the Nazir Tamei. Ma Tamei, just like by the Nazir Tamei, where it says Yigal Chenu, that repetition to indicate fullness and completion. Ki Shir Shtei Sa'ores. V'loy Klum Avad, if he leaves behind two uncut hair, nothing doing. Hachanam here as well by Nazir Tar needs to be a full haircut. Ki Shir Shtei Sa'ores. If he shall leave behind two hair uncut, v'loy klum avad, indeed, that is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Here come some interesting questions regarding this two sa'ares, you know, halacha. Boy Abaye, here comes question number one, the name of Abaye. Nazir shegilach. Suppose a Nazir who completed his naziris shaves his hair, v'shir shtei sa'ares. And in fact, leave behind two uncut hair. Okay. So he has to go back and cut it, right? But he took his time. He waited until the rest of his hair grew back. For some reason, he procrastinated and samach reishai. The rest of his hair, which he had originally removed, comes back. And now he remembers, oh, one second, I still have those two hair to cut. V'chazar v'gilchan. And he goes back and finds those two hair, which he had originally omitted from his haircut, cuts them. Mahu. Does that work or not? Mi ma'akvi oiloi. Shall we say, it's ma'akvi, meaning the fact that he left those hair behind. Even if he comes back now to do it, it's too late. Because by now, his head is full of hair. You can't just cut two. If all you have is two, fine. Remove them and you're done. But by now, it's all regrown. You can't just go back and cut those two here. So the fact that he left those behind, shall we say me'akvi, they prevent, they hold back. And he was not yotzei eloi, or shall we say no? He was missing those two, now he did them. So that's an unresolved question presented by Abaye. Furthermore, asks the Gemara, by Rav, I have a question as well. Nazir shegilach, another shaves, v'niach shtei sa'aris, and leaves behind two hair, uncut. V'gilach achas, v'nashra achas, mahu. He comes back, he cuts one more, and the second one, well, he didn't get around to removing it, it just fell out on its own. What is the aloha here? On the one hand, he has no more hair. On the other hand, well, he didn't really remove both hair. And remember, two hair, that's a shear. The shear chashivas. So he didn't really do a proper hair cutting, a proper giluach at this later date. He only took off one. The second one just fell out on its own. Mahu, how would you deal with this case? I don't understand the question. Of course it's good. Gilach sa'ara. Sa'ara kamiboy. Lele Rav. Is Rav asking what happens if a person cuts one hair at a time? Meaning, suppose he approaches both of these, you know, hair and he cuts one and then cuts the other. Is there any question that it's okay? Of course it's okay. You don't need to do it both at the same time. The fact is, when he started, he had a shear to work with. He had two hair, which is the minimum for a giluach. And once he cuts one, you can't stop and say, well, there's nothing left, there's only one left, that's not giluach. It's part of the same process. The fact is, when he needed to make the giluach, when there were two hair left, he had a shear to cut. And the fact is, he did the giluach on the first one, and it was one out of two, so it gave him a sufficient amount. There was enough presence, there was enough of hair presence there to make a shir giluach, and he was yet to the giluach with that first one. The fact that the second one was cut later, if he actually cut it, in a situation where there were no more than just one hair left, that's not a problem, right? So same thing here. When he came to do his haircut, he had two hair left. That was a shir for giluach. He took one off. Right? So instead of cutting the next one, it fell out. That's also fine. Right? Again, the assumption is that you need to make a masa giluach on a shir giluach, which is two. Right? So if there are two here, go ahead and make the giluach. The fact is, once you remove one, there no longer is a shir giluach here. There is no two here. So it's not even ma'akev. Right? So what's the problem? So what's Rabbi asking? Gilach se'ara se'ara kame boile l'rav. Right? Again, suppose he would have approached both here and done one and then another one. Right? Instead of doing it both together. Is that a problem? Of course it's not a problem. What do you mean? By the time he got to the second one, there was no shir giluach. Okay. But there needs... He doesn't need a giluach anymore. He only has one hair left. So the same thing here. In this case, he cut the first, and the second one fell out. It's no worse. So what's the question? Rather, the question was like this. The other way around, he had two strands of hair left behind. And the first one fell out. So he never got a chance to do a masi giluach on a shear of giluach. By the time he got around to cutting, there was only one left. That's not a shear. It's not a sufficient quantity of hair to constitute a masa of giluach, a masa of shaving. Elaim would rather say like this, Noshu achas, v'gilach achas mahu. What happens if he has two hair left, and by the time he gets around to cutting it, one falls out, and then he shaves the second one. What's the halacha there? So he says like this, Amalei. So Ravina responds, you know what? Giluach enkan, seir enkan. The Gemara at this point figures that what he meant to say was that, you know, we have no ma'ase giluach done because there was no shear of hair, because his haircut was done only on one hair. It was a haircut. That's not enough. So there was no giluach done because there wasn't enough hair. Asks the Gemara, one second. E ser enkan giluach yeshkan. Well, I don't understand. If it's considered a proper hair removal, e ser enkan, there's no hair, meaning he properly removed this hair, then giluach yeshkan, then there is a giluach. How did it happen? He shaved. Hachigam, he meant like this. Ravina says like this. This is a problem. Afal pisha seir enkan. Even though practically there's no hair left, right? Because one fell out and one was cut. Still, he has not fulfilled his mitzvah. Mitzvah's giluach enkan. You know why? Because the first time around, when he did a full haircut, he left behind two hair. He didn't complete the haircut. And the second time he came around, he thought he would have two hair, but by the time he got to it, one fell out. There was only one hair left. That's less than the minimum quantity of hair to constitute a giluach. So he was not yetzeh. Okay, so what do we learn until this point? We learned that Nazar needs to have a giluach with a tar, whether he's a Nazar tummy or a Nazar tummy. He can't leave behind two hair or more. If he does so, he has to come back and cut it off as well to complete his haircut. We had a question presented by Abaye and presented by Rava. Next Mishnah. Nazar chayfev umefasfes, avaloy sirik. So although Nazar may not actually take a haircut, but he can clean his hair, chayfef, he can scrub his hair, or with fast face, he can manually, you know, sort of comb it. Avaloy sarik, but he shouldn't really use a comb, which carries a good chance of pulling out hair. Asks the Gemara, we seem to find an inconsistency within the Mishnah itself. It doesn't match. We all know that there's a famous halacha between Rabbi Shimon who says, Dovar she'eino miskaven is mutter. So a person does something on Shabbos, or in this case regarding a nazir, does something which can result in a malacha, or in this case result in hair removal, but he's not intending. It's not his purpose. It's not his goal. It's not his intention. It's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to clean his hair, not to remove his hair. Dovar she'eino miskaven is mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda, others disagree. Even if the resulting situation was not his intention, wasn't intentional, still usur. So the beginning of the Mishnah, which allows another to clean his hair and to manually comb his hair, despite the fact that it carries a chance of removing his hair, it's okay because it's a davar she'eino miskaven. That matches Rabbi Shimon's shita. So chayfef umefas face mani. Who is speaking here? Whose shita is this in line with? Rabbi Shimon. Is Rabbi Shimon the Amar davar she'eino miskaven is mut? But then avaloi sarik, we don't allow him to comb, despite the fact that once again his purpose is not to remove his hair, just to put his hair in order. So what's the problem there? Asan the Rabbanon. Oh, apparently that's the other shita. We have to be concerned with any unintended consequences. So it seems to be a stira within the Mishnah itself. Says the Gemara. So Reisha Rabbi Shimon v'Sefer Rabbanon. Unusual that the first part of the Mishnah should reflect one shita, the second part another shita. Amar Rabbi, you know what? Kula Rabbi Shimon. The entire Mishnah reflects Rabbi Shimon's shita. Davar she'einoy miskaven is mutter. The reason why no comb should be used is because kol ha-sirik, when a fellow sits down and combs his hair properly, you know what he really has in mind? To bring law and order to his hair. To remove any loose hair as well. Lahasir, to remove nimen hair, strands of hair, midul dolis, which are sort of half in, half out. Miskaven, that's what he has in mind as well. So inevitably, his kavana is to pull out, to remove loose hair, and that's a problem by a nazir, therefore keep away from the comb. Rabbi Shmuel adds as well, Rabbi Shmuel Eimer lo yachab ba'adamma. When a nazir cleanses his hair, he uses only, a shampoo, not adamma, not soil, not strong agents which can actually disrupt his hair and pull it out. Because it tends to pull out hair. So don't use adama. Question. Iboilu. The Bnei HaYeshiva wanted to know. Are we speaking about a specific brand of adama? We're speaking about a very specific type which has this tendency. Keep away from that. But other similar, materials can be used. Other adamas can be used. Adama, don't use any sort of adama. May hamasheras tanan. The Mishnah is concerned about one leading to the other. Don't use any soil because it might be confused with that specific type, which tends to pull out here. The man of Kimina, what's the difference between one approach or the other? Kigai, for instance, dika adama, you can discover adama deloy masra, which doesn't tug at the hair. Can you use it or not? So it depends. If the Mishnah says, don't use Adama because this Adama is Masheres, okay. Then you can use the other one. Hecha di adina and delay masra. If you know for a fact that the other one does not have this tendency, shaper, then it's okay. Ela I amris. But if your reading of the Mishnah is, v'pnei ha-Masheres, don't use Adama because of the other one which does tug, klal klalai. That's a comprehensive ban on all types of soil. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Here comes the next Mishnah, which we already discussed earlier in the Perek. Nazir Shayyushaysa Yain. Kol Yain, Nazir sat down for a day long drink. He's drinking and drinking. Ein Yechayev Alachas. He gets only one Malkus, because, remember, in order to give a person Malkus, you have to forewarn him to ascertain that, in fact, it's intentional, it's amazing. So this fellow was warned once in the morning, and he sat a whole day drinking wine. He only gets one Malkus. One Hasra gets one Malkus. But, Amar, I suppose, they repeated it to him once and again and again. Al Tishte, Al Tishte. Bushoysen ignores their warnings over and over again. Don't drink, he drinks. Don't drink, he drinks. Chayav Klachas V'Achas. Every experience gets him another Malkus. The same with Giluach, with hair cutting. The same with becoming tummy to a mace. He's cutting his hair all day. It gets him one Malkus. They warn him repeatedly, don't do it, don't do it. And he violates their Hasra. Every experience gets him another Malkus. And thirdly, he's constantly becoming tummy to a mace. It gets him one violation. Omrle al tatame, al tatame, but if he's warned repeatedly, vumitame, and he ignores their requests, chayv kalachas v'achas, each experience gives him another malchus. Itmar. So in the Beis HaMedrash, they learned us like this. Amar Rabba, Amar Rafun. Let's take a close look at the pasuk, which warns a nazir from becoming tummy. Mikra Mole, Dibir HaKosef. We have a full, clear pasuk warning another to keep away from any mace, any deceased person, even a relative. The pasuk says, okay? So don't come into contact with any mace. Now, we know there are three forms of contracting tumas mace. One is maga, by actually touching, one is masa, by carrying, and one is tumas oyil, by being found under the same roof as a mace. So firstly, the pasuk says, don't become tummy, which would typically include all forms of attracting tumas mace, whether it's maga, whether it's masa, whether it's oyil. So why does the pasuk have to repeat itself? Kishu aymer, the pasuk continues and says, well, al nefesh mace lo yavai, don't enter a home where there is a mace. That's a reference to Tumas Oyel. Why repeat it? Why go through it again? It's clear that a Nazir should keep away from all forms of association with a maze. The answer is Las Hiro Yala Tuma. First Pasuk is warning him against becoming Tummy. And then Las Hiro Yala Bil. Next Pasuk of Lo Yavi tells him that he should not enter a bias that has a maze. And what's the Chiddush here? That there are two possible violations, meaning that if he enters a bias that has a mace, he gets two isurim. He has committed two violations. One is the pasuk of lo yitama, he became tummy, and then there's an additional layer, so to speak, the fact that he's becoming tummy in a oyel mace, he's being oyver lo yavai. There's a separate isur for that. Okay, that's Rav Huna's Chiddush, based on the extra pasuk. Aval tuma v'tuma loy. But continues the Gemara. Of course, if he's already tummy, your standard type of tuma, tumas mag, touch the mace. And then, as he's touching, while he's touching one mace, he touches another mace, he's not going to get malchus again. Why? Because he's already tummy. He didn't add another layer of tumah upon himself. So this chiddush that we said applies only to tumas oil. That gets him a double iser because of the extra pasuk. But tumas maga, for instance, carries only one potential iser. So even if he's, you know, touching two mesim at the same time, it doesn't matter. Because once you're tummy, you're tummy. So that's Rabba's quote in the name of Rav Huna. Rav Yosef Omar. Rav Yosef disagrees with Rabba. He says like this. Ha'elikim. Rav Yosef Omar. Ha'elikim. By the name of Hashem. It's the Lashon of Shvu, I promise. Omar Rav Huna. I know for a fact that Rav Huna told us. Afilu tumah v'tumah. That even. If a Nazir is already tame. He touched the mace. And then he touched another mace. He did another Isser. He gets another Malkus. How do I know this? The Omar Rav Huna told us, Nazir Shayayim Beis HaKfaris. Another standing in a cemetery. He already touched the mace. Touched the caver. He's tame. And he was handed his mace, meaning, let's say, a relative of his, which typically a person is supposed to look after, but in the case of another, he's not supposed to. Umeis ach, or just a stranger, a mace, doesn't matter. The bottom line is, just an example. He's already tummy, and he came into contact with another mace. V'nagabai, he touched that second mace, chayev. He's chayev again, another malchus, upon the second tumah. Am I? Why? He's already tummy to begin with. Elo lav shmamino. The fact that Rav Huna tells us that he's chayev upon the second experience, upon the second negia, teaches us that in fact, Amar Rav Huna, afilu tuma v'tuma, that Rav Huna's personal opinion is that even if a nazir was already tummy and becomes tummy again, he gets another malchus. So again, Rabba's version of Rav Huna was only by Tumas Oil is there a double Malkus, but by Maga and Maga, no. Once he's Tummy, he's Tummy. There's no additional layer of Tumah, and there's no reason for another Malkus. However, Rav Yosef quotes Rav Huna otherwise. Even Tumah v'Tumah, he was ready Tummy, he touched the mace again, he gets another Malkus. Esvi Abaye. Abaye, as we know, was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, and he asked on Rav Yosef from a Bryce. Kayin Shayulay Mace. So the Brisa speaks about a Kayin. Kayin Gadol is not meant to get tummy to anyone, even to a close relative. And actually, there's a Girsa which switches it to Nazir. So, whatever the case is, a fellow who's not meant to become tummy, period. Shayulay Mace Munachak Seifa. So, for whatever reason, he had a mace over his shoulder. He was in contact with a mace. He was already tummy. For Yeshitulay Mace, so you mace Achar. And then he was handed a relative, a mace, or a stranger, a mace, v'nogabay, and he touched that mace as well. Yochal yehichay. Perhaps there's another chiyuv as a result of that second negia, that second contact. No, Talmud Lomi, the pasuk says v'lo yichalel. That is a pasuk by the way we have it. It's a pasuk by the kain gadol. Don't defile your holiness. That's the way the Torah warns him from becoming tummy. So if you're meant to be tar, don't become tummy. That's only b'misha einu mechulo. That's a reference to a person who's clean, who's not yet tummy. Don't become tummy. And if you become tummy, wow, you are over the isser, you get malchus. As opposed to this fellow who's already tummy. He's already mechulo. He wasn't supposed to touch the mace to begin with. He's already tummy. It's too late. The answer is as opposed to this fellow who's already in contact with the mace. He's already in a state of defilement. So touching another mace doesn't add any tumah. It will not earn him another malchus. So clearly says Abaye, we see from this brisa that there's no double dipping. There's no double jeopardy here. He's already tumah. That's it. You can't add another malchus upon that second negia. Amalei, so Rav Yosef says to him, look, I hear your question, but what about our Mishnah? Which indicates that there is another penalty for becoming tummy again. Take a look at our Mishnah. This nun, we have the Mishnah by the Nazir, which says, a Nazir became tummy once and again throughout the entire day. But since it was only one Hasra'a, how many Malkiyas does he get? One. But suppose he transgressed many warnings. Amulei told him, "Alta tami, don't become tami," and he became tami. Alta tami, don't become tami again. He becomes tami again. Chayav al achas v'achas. Every tumi gets him another malchus. V'amai, what do you mean? How can that be? He's already tami. Hamei tami v'kaim. Once he touched the mace in the morning, he became tami. It's too late. How could you give him another malchus for coming into contact with the mace again? Says the Gemara, you're right. Elokashi Adadi. So, whether it's the Gemara or Rav Yosef, the bottom line is, now we have a clear-cut contradiction between our Mishnah. Now, there is another Malkus as a result of the next contact with the mace, despite the fact that he's already Tomei. He gets another Malkus for the next Tumah, and the Braisa, which we quoted a minute ago, Lo Yechalo, don't defile your Kedusha. But if you're ready, Tomei, there is no Chiyuv. How do we reconcile this contradiction? Says the Gemara like this. Like Kashi, the answer is like this. It depends when. Basically, if you're adding another layer of Tumah upon yourself, yes, then you're responsible. But otherwise, you're not. Kan b'chiburin, kan shaloi b'chiburin. So when the Braisa says there is no second chiv for becoming tummy again, that's when the fellow is still holding on to the mace b'chibur and is still sort of connected to it. So in that type of situation, touching another mace while simultaneously holding on to the first mace doesn't add anything to your tumma. So there is no chiv as a result of that second egia. Kan shalei b'chibur, as opposed to our Mishnah, which holds him responsible for touching the mace again that same day. Shalei b'chibur. He has already disconnected, disengaged from the first mace by the time he went to the second mace. And therefore, it's considered a new experience. Why? Because it adds another tumma. So you'll ask, what do you mean? We know that a mace is called the source of all tumas. It's called Avi Avayis HaTumah, right? A person who comes into contact with a mace is called an Av HaTumah, the father, source of tumah. It's tumah for 7 days. He touches somebody else, that person becomes a Rishon LeTumah, the next level. Only tumah till the night, on that day. Right? So the tumah sort of progressively weakens as it goes down the chain, as it goes down the ladder. So the Farshim explain like this. While a person touches a mace, the mace is the Avi Havoi, sort of the grandfather. So when I touch the mace, I become an Avatuma. At that point, while I'm in contact with the mace, I become a conduit. The person becomes like a conductor, like a pipeline. In which case, if somebody else touches him, I touch a mace. I become a conductor. Somebody touches me at that moment, while I'm still in contact with the mace, it sort of gets transferred directly to that other person in an undiluted fashion and makes that other person an Av HaTumah as well, just like me. It does not go down a level. So again, if I touch a mace, I become an Av HaTumah. I let go of the mace, I'm an Av HaTumah, and then I touch Shimon, he becomes a Rishon LeTumah. Only tell me till tonight. Right? So, in that case, if I touch a mace, and I become an Av HaTumah, I let go of the mace, and I touch another mace, I haven't really added anything to my tumah. I was an Av HaTumah when I touched the first mace, and I'm still an Av HaTumah. Nothing changed. But while I'm touching the mace, if while I'm touching the mace, which makes me an avatuma, Shimon comes over to me and touches me, he will now also become an avatuma because I conduct the tumah over to him. So that will be the chiluk between the Mishnah and the Braisa. When the Braisa says that touching a mace once and again does not constitute a new violation, I should say, it doesn't create a new Malkus. Let's put it that way. That's b'chibur. That's speaking where I'm touching mace 1, and then I go and touch mace 2 at the same time. So, mace 2 didn't add anything to my experience. Because suppose somebody else would approach me at that point and touch me. So whether he touches me while I'm only in contact with mace 1, or he touches me while I'm touching mace 1 and mace 2, there's no difference. Either way, I'm a conductor of tumah. And just like I'm an avatumah, he's an avatumah. But the fact that I touched mace 2 as well doesn't add anything to my experience, whether to me or to him. Again, there are two mesim here. I'm the nazir. I'm touching mace 1. And as I'm touching mace 1, b'chiburin, right, that's called b'chiburin, I'm touching him, Shimon approaches me and touches me. What happens? I become a conductor. And just like I'm an avatumah, Shimon is an avatumah. And suppose with my other hand, I reach out to mace 2 at the same time. So I'm touching mace 1 with my right hand, mace 2 with my left hand. Nothing changes. Not pertaining to myself, I'm still an avatumah. Not pertaining to Shimon who touches me, who will also be an avatumah. Right? But the fact that I'm touching mace 2 in addition to mace 1 doesn't add anything, not to me and not to him. Right? Whether he touches me while I'm only touching mace 1, or whether he comes and touches me while I'm touching mace 1 and mace 2, no difference. So basically, touching mace 2 didn't add anything to my experience, or to his experience. And therefore, there's no additional malchus upon touching mace 2, as opposed to the Mishnah, which says there is an additional malchus. By becoming tummy again, it should lo be chibur. I had already let go of mace 1. I touched mace 1, walked away. Now, let's stop for a sec. At this juncture, right here, I'm an avatumah. And Shimon approaches me and touches me. I'm not a conductor anymore because I'm detached from the mace. So he's just a rishon l'tumah. But now that I walk over to mace number 2 and I touch that, at that moment, I become a conductor again. And if somebody theoretically comes over to me at that moment and touches me, the avatumah travels through me into him. So basically, that second contact, that second association, that second tumas mace, elevates me for the time being, makes me a higher level of tumah, makes me a conductor of tumah, which can theoretically extend to the person who touches me. And that's why it's called a new experience, which carries a new penalty. Kam b'chiburin, kam shaloi b'chiburin. So again, b'chiburin means that if while I'm touching mace 1, I touch mace B, there's no added element there. And therefore, there's no malchus for that. Kan shalei b'chibur in the Mishnah speaking, I've let go of the first mace, then touched the second mace. That adds a new dimension, because while I'm in contact with the second mace, I'm a conductor. That's a new level of tumah, and a new chiyuv malchus. Asks the Gemara, really? This idea of a conductor while I'm touching, that's a deraisa concept which can generate malchus? V'tumah b'chibur in deraisa? How can you say that? It would seem that it's only a chumra mederabanan. Ha'amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Rav Yanai. L'yamar tumah b'chiburin, this idea that I'm conducting tumah only applies to certain things. Ela l'truma v'kachim. Regarding truma and kachim. So basically, if somebody touches me while I'm in contact with a mace, that person has to be off truma and off kachim for 7 days. He gets the most stringent tumah because I'm a conductor. Only for truma and kachim. Avel nazir, but regarding other halachis. See, truma and kachim, it's just a, you know, he can't eat truma, okay, he can't eat kachim. It's very important to have truma and kachim. It's a mitzvah saseh. So it's a bitul mitzvah saseh. Okay, so Chachamim made a gzera. Keep away from truma v'kachim. But when it comes to avol nazir, when I say Pesach, when it comes to halachas of nazir, or a person foregoing his Pesach opportunity, like, we don't apply the stringency. So even if a person touches me while I'm in contact with a mace, that person does not become for 7 days pertaining to nazir and I say Pesach. He doesn't nullify his nazirus, and he can bring the Pesach that night. V'yamros deiraisa, and if you can tell me this whole idea of a conductor is min ha-toira, ma'ishna, how can you differentiate between Trumah and Pesach? So bottom line is, it appears that this Tumah b'chiburin concept is not min ha-toira. Answers the Gemara, you know what? You're right, but you're wrong. It depends regarding what stage we're speaking about. Kan bechiburi odom beodom, kan bechiburi odom bemeis. The first stage is minat Torah. The second stage isn't. So in our case, we have a mace, and I'm touching the mace. Bechibur, I'm in contact. Shimon approaches me and touches me bechibur, and while I'm in contact with the mace, I'm a conductor regarding Shimon. He gets my tumah, he gets my tumah's mace, he becomes an ava tumah for 7 days, that's minat Torah. Kan bechiburi adam bemace. When he's touching a person who's touching a mace, so he's at that first stage, that's minat Torah. Kan bechiburi adam ba'adam. When we said that it's only a chumra midrabbanan, that's a step further. Another fellow touched him while he's touching me, while I'm touching a mace. That far, that's only midrabbanan. Right, so the Rabbanan, we take it a step further. By touching the mace, I get the tumah. I transfer it to Shimon. That's minat Torah. But if at that very moment Levi is touching Shimon as well, so that next step is only with the Rabbanan. To consider Levi tumah for 7 days, that's minat Rabbanan. And as we say, that only applies to certain things, truma v'kacha, but not nazir v'yisid pesach. But that first step is minat Torah. And that explains our Mishnah, why he'll get Malkus repeatedly, because, as we said, when you have that second Negiah B'Mace, while you're touching that mace, you become a conductor that elevates you to a higher status, and is considered a new Tumah experience, which deserves a new Malkus. Okay, so in conclusion, a Nazir is meant to do Giluach, Bitar, a complete Giluach, without leaving behind Shtei Saris. He left behind Shtei Saris, comes back to cut them, but his hair is now regrown. Abai is not sure whether it works anymore. Rava wants to know, in a case where one of those two hair were shaved, but one fell out. According to Ravina, if it fell out and then the second one was cut, it doesn't work because there was no shiur of seir when he approached it for Giluach. Kodrab Shimon, Davar She'ein Miskavet Mutter, another may cleanse his hair, wash his hair, but not in a manner where it's reflective of Kavana to remove hair. Rabbi Shmuel warns us to be careful from using any cleansing agents which can pull out those hair. If a Nazir violates his halacha, drinks wine, etc., if it was done in response to one warning, one Malkus. Many warnings, many Malkiyos. How can another get Malkus again and again for Tumah? So Rav Huna tells us, Tumas Oil gets him two Malkiyos, based on the extra Pasuk. What about Tumas Maga once and then again? So the way the Gemara concludes, well, all depends. Whether it's Bichiburin or Shaloi Bichiburin. So if he's touching one mace, at the same time touches another, that doesn't add another layer of tumah. It's not a new experience. However, if he touched one mace, let go, and then touched again, that enables him to become a conductor. So while he's touching that second mace, he's able to transfer that tumah in a very pristine form to that other person who touches him. That potential transfer is indicative of a higher level of tumah. And it's considered a new experience, which can generate a new Malkus. All the best to you, Hatzlach Rabbah, and Surah Estayah.